This is the reading for May 12th, Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his suffering. He made an oath to the Lord, a promise to the mighty God of Jacob. He said, I will not go home to my house or lie down on my bed or close my eyes or let myself sleep until I find a place for the Lord. I want to provide a home for the mighty God of Jacob. We heard about the ark in Bethlehem. We found it at Kiriath-Jearim. Let's go to the Lord's house. Let's worship at his footstool. Rise, Lord, and come to your resting place. Come with the ark that shows your strength. May your priests do what is right. May your people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your appointed king. The Lord made a promise to David, a sure promise that he will not take back. He promised, I will make one of your descendants rule as king after you. If your sons keep my agreement and the rules that I teach them, then their sons after them will rule on your throne forever and ever. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He wants it for his home. He says, this is my resting place forever. Here is where I want to stay. I will bless her with plenty. I will fill her poor with food. I will cover her priests with salvation, and those who worship me will really sing for joy. I will make a king come from the family of David. I will provide my appointed one descendants to rule after him. I will cover his enemies with shame, but his crown will shine. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now Samuel died, and all the Israelites met and had a time of sadness for him. Then they buried him at his home in Ramah. David moved to the desert of Maon. A man in Maon who had land at Carmel was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was cutting the wool off his sheep at Carmel. His name was Nabal, and he was a descendant of Caleb. His wife was Abigail. She was wise and beautiful, but Nabal was cruel and mean. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was cutting the wool from his sheep, so he sent 10 young men and told them, Go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him for me. Say to Nabal, May you and your family and all who belong to you have good health. I have heard that you are cutting the wool from your sheep. When your shepherds were with us, we did not harm them. All the time your shepherds were at Carmel, we stole nothing from them. Ask your servants and they will tell you. We come at a happy time, so be kind to my young men. Please give anything you can find for them and for your son David. When David's men arrived, they gave the message to Nabal, but Nabal insulted them. He answered them, Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? Many slaves are running away from their masters today. I have bread and water, and I have meat that I killed for my servants who cut the wool, but I won't give it to men I don't know. David's men went back and told him all Nabal had said. Then David said to them, Put on your swords. So they put on their swords, and David put on his also. About 400 men went with David, but 200 men stayed with supplies. One of Nabal's servants said to Abigail, Nabal's wife, David sent messengers from the desert to greet our master, but Nabal insulted them. These men were very good to us. They did not harm us. They stole nothing from us during all the time we were out in the field with them. Night and day they protected us. They were like a wall around us while we were with them caring for the sheep. Now think about it and decide what you can do. Terrible trouble is coming to our master and all his family. Nabal is such a wicked man that no one can even talk to him. Abigail hurried. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 leather bags full of wine, 5 cooked sheep, a bushel of cooked grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and put all these on donkeys. Then she told her servants, Go on, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband. Abigail rode her donkey and came out toward the mountain hideout. There she met David and his men coming down toward her. David had just said, It's been useless. I watched over Nabal's property in the desert. I made sure none of his sheep was missing. I did good to him, but he has paid me back with evil. May God punish my enemies even more. I will not leave one of Nabal's men alive until morning. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed face down on the ground before him. She fell at David's feet and said, My master, let the blame be on me. Please let me talk to you. Listen to what I say. "My master, don't pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. He is like his name. His name means fool, and he is truly a fool. But I, your servant, didn't see the men you sent. The Lord has kept you from killing and punishing anyone. As surely as the Lord lives, and as surely as you live, may your enemies become like Nabal. I have brought a gift to you for the men who follow you. Please forgive my wrong. The Lord will certainly let your family have many kings because you fight his battles. As long as you live, may you do nothing bad. Someone might chase you to kill you, but the Lord your God will keep you alive. He will throw away your enemies' lives as he would throw a stone from a sling. The Lord will keep all his promises of good things for you. He will make you leader over Israel. Then you won't feel guilty or troubled because you killed innocent people and punished them. Please remember me when the Lord brings you success." David answered Abigail, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me. May you be blessed for your wisdom. You have kept me from killing or punishing people today. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, he has kept me from hurting you. If you hadn't come quickly to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would have lived until morning." Then David accepted Abigail's gifts. He told her, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words, and I will do what you have asked." When Abigail went back to Nabal, he was in the house, eating like a king. He was very drunk and in a good mood. So she told him nothing until the next morning. In the morning, when he was not drunk, his wife told him everything. His heart stopped, and he became like stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise the Lord. Nabal insulted me, but the Lord has supported me. He has kept me from doing wrong. The Lord has punished Nabal for his wrong." Then David sent a message to Abigail, asking her to be his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David sent us to take you so you can become his wife." Abigail bowed face down on the ground and said, "I am your servant. I'm ready to serve you and to wash the feet of my master's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and went with David's messengers, with her 5 maids following her, and she became David's wife. David also had married Ahinoam of Jezreel, so they were both David's wives. Saul's daughter, Michal, was also David's wife, but Saul had given her to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Galim. 1 Samuel chapter 26. The people of Ziph went to Saul at Gibeah and said to him, "David is hiding on the hill of Hakalah opposite Jeshimon." So Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with 3,000 chosen men of Israel to look for David there. Saul made his camp beside the road on the hill of Hakalah opposite Jeshimon, but David stayed in the desert. When he heard Saul had followed him, he sent out spies and learned for certain that Saul had come to Hakalah. Then David went to the place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, were sleeping. Saul was sleeping in the middle of the camp with all the army around him. David asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, son of Jeruiah, Joab's brother, "Who will go down into Saul's camp with me?" Abishai answered, "I'll go with you." So that night David and Abishai went into Saul's camp. Saul was asleep in the middle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the army were sleeping around Saul. Abishai said to David, "Today God has handed your enemy over to you. Let me pin Saul to the ground with my spear. I'll only have to do it once. I won't need to hit him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't kill Saul. No one can harm the Lord's appointed king and still be innocent. As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord himself will punish Saul. Maybe Saul will die naturally, or maybe he will go into battle and be killed. But may the Lord keep me from harming his appointed king. Take the spear and water jug that are near Saul's head. Then let's go." So David took the spear and water jug that were near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw them or knew about it or woke up, because the Lord had put them sound asleep. David crossed over to the other side of the hill and stood on top of the mountain far from Saul's camp. They were a long way away from each other. David shouted to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, "Won't you answer me, Abner?" Abner answered, "Who is calling for the king? Who are you?" David said, "You're the greatest man in Israel, isn't that true? Why didn't you guard your master the king? Someone came into your camp to kill your master the king. You have not done well, as surely as the Lord lives. You and your men should die. You haven't guarded your master. the Lord's appointed king, look, where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head? Saul knew David's voice. He said, Is that your voice, David, my son? David answered, Yes, it is, my master and king. David also said, Why are you chasing me, my master? What wrong have I done? What evil am I guilty of? My master and king, listen to me. If the Lord made you angry with me, let him accept an offering. But if people did it, may the Lord curse them. They have made me leave the land the Lord gave me. They have told me, Go and serve other gods. Now don't let me die far away from the Lord's presence. The king of Israel has come out looking for a flea. You're just hunting a bird in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Today you respected my life, so I will not try to hurt you. I have been very stupid and foolish. David answered, Here is your spear. Let one of your young men come here and get it. The Lord rewards us for the things we do right and for our loyalty to him. The Lord handed you over to me today, but I wouldn't harm the Lord's appointed king. As I respected your life today, may the Lord also respect my life and save me from all trouble. Then Saul said to David, You are blessed, my son David. You will do great things and succeed. So David went on his way, and Saul went back home.
Chapter 3.
Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish council. He came to Jesus one night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that God has sent you as a teacher. No one can perform the miracles you perform unless God is with him. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, I can guarantee this truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus asked him, How can anyone be born when he is an old man? He can't go back into his mother a second time to be born, can he? Jesus answered Nicodemus, I can guarantee this truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh and blood give birth to flesh and blood, but the Spirit gives birth to things that are spiritual. Don't be surprised when I tell you that all of you must be born from above. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus replied, How can that be? Jesus told Nicodemus, You're a well-known teacher of Israel. Can't you understand this? I can guarantee this truth. We know what we're talking about, and we confirm what we've seen. Yet you don't accept our message. If you don't believe me when I tell you about things on earth, how will you believe me when I tell you about things in heaven? No one has gone to heaven except the Son of Man who came from heaven. As Moses lifted up the snake on a pole in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Then everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God loved the world this way. He gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Those who believe in him won't be condemned, but those who don't believe are already condemned because they don't believe in God's only Son. This is why people are condemned. The light came into the world, yet people love the dark rather than the light because their actions were evil. People who do what is wrong hate the light and don't come to the light. They don't want their actions to be exposed. But people who do what is true come to the light so that the things they do for God may be clearly seen. Later, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized people. John was baptizing in Aenon near Salem. Water was plentiful there. People came to John to be baptized since John had not yet been put in prison. Some of John's disciples had an argument with a Jew about purification ceremonies. So they went to John and asked him, Rabbi, do you remember the man you spoke so favorably about when he was with you on the other side of the Jordan River? Well, he's baptizing, and everyone is going to him. John answered, People can't receive anything unless it has been given to them from heaven. You are witnesses that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. The groom is the person to whom the bride belongs. The best man who stands and listens to him is overjoyed when the groom speaks. This is the joy that I feel. He must increase in importance while I must decrease in importance. The person who comes from above is superior to everyone. I, a person from the earth, know nothing but what is on earth, and that's all I can talk about. The person who comes from heaven is superior to everyone and tells what he has seen and heard. Yet no one accepts what he says. I have accepted what that person said, and I have affirmed that God is truthful. The man whom God has sent speaks God's message. After all, God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything in his power. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, he will see God's constant anger.